This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. Oh, my goodness sakes. This makes me the happiest of the day, just joining with you here on Women of Grace Live to discuss issues of importance to our life and our faith. And I am inviting you to give us a call here. Got that toll-free number for you? Yes, I do. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone, give us a call today. We want to talk with you right away. Yes, we do. We have Matthew Gubensky out there. He is answering the phones today. He will take your name and let me know where you're calling from or how it is that you are joining us today. And we will take your question or your comment. Yes, we will have holy conversation together. That's so much fun. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply get on out there and use the chat feature to put your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. We will get it and we will have the opportunity to address whatever is on your mind today. Want to let you know that there's other ways that you can join us too. Oftentimes we'll take a day and we'll just dip into our mailbag. How do we receive mail? Well, we use that as a generic term. It refers to every other way that we get questions from you. One of those ways is by using our listener comment line. And this number is available to you 24/7. It's country code 1-205-795-5773. You can just leave your question or comment there. Say it's for Johnette or say it's for Women of Grace Live. We'll get it and then we'll address it. Again, that number is 205-795-5773. I'm also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. I mentioned that already, YouTube channel and Facebook page, but also available for you I gave you the listener comment call, didn't I? I'm trying to find something here, and I'm not doing a very good job of talking to you while I'm trying to find it. What I wanted to get to here is to give you the text number. I don't have this one memorized, which is why I need to find it for you. But you can text your question or comment to us, too. And I'm going to take one of the text messages in just a little bit here. But you can text us, and we will grab that text, and we will address you. And, Rich, if you would get that up for me, here it is. It's EWTN to 58177. So text the letters EWTN to 58177. That is the way that you can join us here for a question that we will get to and answer. And you can do that during the program, actually. So we have Michael McCall, who is out there, and he's retrieving your questions from EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I do believe he'll get the text questions, too. I'm not really sure how that works exactly. Rich Jesse is doing the producing. Matthew Gubensky is answering the phone. That toll-free number again is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So we are looking forward to hearing from you in all of these marvelous ways. Send them in, womenofgrace@EWTN.com too. All of that being said, I want to share with you some of the things that are coming up. Very excited. On Friday, as you know, I'm going to be at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church right there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm going to be there for a beautiful day. We're going to be celebrating the Feast of the Sacred Heart. It's the name day or the feast day for the church itself, being named Heart of Jesus, Sacred Heart, right? Beautiful opportunity. Everything is going to start at 11 a.m. with a Eucharistic procession. Then we will have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. As I've been telling you, it's a Maronite Rite church. So it's going to be the Maronite liturgy, which is a beautiful liturgy, inviting you to join us for that. We're going to eat lunch after that, and I understand the food is really, really, really good. So we'll have a nice repast together. And then following that, I'm going to give a talk. Yes, I am. And so I'm hoping if you're a Women of Grace, you know, we've got just a bunch of women of grace in that area, hundreds of you, quite frankly. So I'd love for you to join us for this beautiful event. All of you are parishioners, of course, at Heart of Jesus. This is your parish. I'm encouraging you to come, you know, make your way there. Join us for this time. It's a 3-hour block of time. But, you know, if when we participate in events like this, you know, if we are willing to do that, I can assure you of one thing. The Lord cannot be outdone in generosity, and He's going to pour out blessings upon you. You're going to experience those blessings, obviously, through the beautiful Eucharistic procession, through the holy sacrifice of the Mass par excellence, when you receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, if you're in the state of grace. You know, you're going to enjoy pleasant conversation through the course of our time of luncheon, and hopefully I'll have a few words that, you know, stir up a deeper desire for God in your heart and in your life. Hopefully they'll be a blessing to you in some way. So this is just going to be an opportunity that's going to redound with blessings. And I'm going to be blessed by all of you. Yes, I am. You know, I always enjoy being with you. So do come to Heart of Jesus Catholic Church there in Fort Lauderdale. Now, obviously, because we're having a luncheon, you know what has to happen. Ladies, you know this for sure. When you're preparing a luncheon, you have to know how many people are coming so you're sure to have enough food. The last thing we as women want is to run out of food. We don't like that. We would rather have an abundance of food than to run out of food. But nonetheless, we have to be very careful in our planning so that we don't have so much food that, you know, it goes to waste. So my desire is for you to take advantage of the opportunity and join us by reserving your place today. Don't wait beyond today. I'm encouraging you not to. Can you call tomorrow? Maybe. I would think. But I think that probably the food has to be ordered by tomorrow early on. So please do join us there at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church in Fort Lauderdale. I think that we've got a few seats left. We'd like to fill it up. We surely would. It is a fundraiser for the church, and I am delighted to participate in this fundraiser. So let's see what we can do for the Sacred Heart of Jesus on this is feast day coming up on Friday. Want to remind you too about everything going on at Malvern. That comes up later this month. I really can't believe it. But before that happens, we're going to have a morning of grace on June the 11th and an evening of grace on June 13th. Now, if you've never dipped your toes into the Women of Grace world before, let me just assure you that this is a great way to do it. The morning of grace and the evenings of grace, you know, really are quite a lovely opportunity. These are going to be online events. We do hold them in person in various locations too. So when you see one advertised in your area, go there. You can interact with these beautiful ladies face to face. But the online events offer you an opportunity to interact with other women who are like-minded and love our Lord via the online opportunity. So we do invite you to join us for the Morning of Grace on June the 11th. Let me tell you a little bit about these. We have one of these every month. The topic this month is St. Joseph, Protector of the Holy Church. That's going to be discussed at both time frames. We're going to be talking about St. Joseph as the great intercessor, as well as under his title of Terror of Demons, right? So he helps us to fight the battle between good and evil. So all of that for the morning and the evening of grace, and those times are 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on the evening, June the 13th, and then on the morning of June the 11th, it begins at 10:30 and runs until 12 noon. So it's free of charge. Free of charge. It's a great way for you to get involved or to keep your involvement with Women of Grace. So I'm inviting you for that. We'll have more about what's coming up in June on the other side of the break. Oh my goodness, now I'm looking and there's even more than June. We've got July up there. Oh my heaven's sakes. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. I'm Johnette Williams. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Woohoo! Give us a call. Yay! Coming right back after the break. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jonette Williams. Very, very happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Always eager to hear from you here. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us via telephone, and we can have a chat in person on the air. I really like that. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Available for you too out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Chat features there for you to put your question or comment in. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. I'll be able to address it for you. Matthew Gubensky answering the phones today. Michael McCall doing the retrieving and Rich Jesse doing the producing. What a happy team we are. Also, always like to remember TOC, Technical Operations Center there. Those are the people that, they kind of do all of the stuff that gets stuff out to the satellites and all that. I don't quite understand their job, but it's a very important one. Wouldn't happen without them. So we thank them too for all that they do for us. So, I was telling you about some of the upcoming events. I want to remind you about our Women of Grace retreat that's happening. It's preceded by the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Our guest presenter this year is Chris McGregor. She's going to be talking with us about the Women Mystic Saints. I'm telling you, it's going to be fantastic. I'm so eager for this. For those of you that are interested in a certification program for Catholic women's leadership that we present to you through our Benedicta Institute for Women, this enrichment seminar will count as one elective credit. So you're going to get that whether you're enrolled or not. It'll be sitting there waiting for you for when it is that the Holy Spirit prompts you to become interested in a certification in Catholic women's leadership through our Benedicta Institute for Women. You can read more about that certification program out there at our website, womenofgrace.com. That beautiful event begins on Thursday, June the 27th. It runs through about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on June the 28th. In the evening of June the 28th, guess what happens? Well, our retreat begins. Theme for the retreat, Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life is the theme. I'm very excited about it. We're welcoming back Father Ken Geraci. He was with us last year. Y'all loved him so much, and why not? I'm telling you, he was just a beautiful spiritual father to us throughout the course of that time. He's going to be back. He's going to be talking about divine mercy in the world of spiritual warfare, why it's absolutely essential to this moment in time. And what is this moment in time? And what does the divine mercy have to do with it? He's going to uncover all of that for us and so much more. In addition to that, we're going to talk about the way in which God really wants to reform us, conform us, transform us by way of divine mercy. That's the new life that we'll be chatting about. Chris McGregor is going to be presenting on St. Faustina and the mysticism of St. Faustina. So it's going to be very, very interesting. I think it's going to be very beneficial. You know, there's always just an amazing outpouring of grace when we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll be doing at Malvern. So I'm encouraging you to get out there. You can come for the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar alone or the retreat alone. Or you can do both of them. We have lots of women that always do both. So we invite you to check it out. Just get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Now, we have a little bit of unfinished business. Yesterday, Jack and I were with you. It was the first Monday of the month. And the first Monday of the month, it's Monthly Marriage Monday. And we were together on the air. And as we came to the close of the program, we couldn't get to our last caller. And our last caller was Maddie from South Dakota. And we wanted to respond to her, so Jack told Maddie to either call in or listen in today, and we would get to her question. So I have Maddie's question from yesterday here for you. And Maddie, I hope that you're listening. So Maddie tells us that she separated for 25 years from her husband because he was abusive. And she says, how can I forgive? Well, I'll tell you, Maddie, this desire to forgive is clearly a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is prompting you to conform your life to God's will for you. And when we think about God's will for us, we know that it is through sacred scripture and the teachings of the church that we know what God's will is. And one of the things that we can be very certain of is that we're called to forgive. And I want everybody to hear this. We are called to forgive. There is no category of person or there is no category of injury that we've experienced by way of a person that nullifies us or exempts us from the need to forgive. Jesus is very, very clear about it. And over again in sacred scripture, we read about forgiveness. And I know that this is really hard to hear sometimes because we've been seriously injured by others in many ways. In some ways greater than others. And Maddie, you know, here you are, you're separated for 25 years. You're not divorced yet. This man is still your husband. And even if you were divorced, unless there was a decree of nullity granted by the church, unless that were the case, then, you know, even the civil divorce is not going to take away the fact that you are married to him. So here it's been 25 years. And now, you know, this movement of grace is strong within you and you're asking about forgiveness. So you are definitely called to forgive him no matter the abuse. You know, here we have this. This is St. Peter. We read this in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22. So then St. Peter comes up to Jesus and he says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Seven being the number of perfection and completion in sacred scripture. Peter figures, well, if I forgive him seven times, then I'm good, right? But Jesus says, no, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. What is Jesus saying there? He's giving this huge number. So is it literally seven times, 70 times, you know, 490 times? Is that literally what Jesus means? No, he's giving him that huge number to indicate to infinity. And sometimes I have to tell you, Maddie, it's been my experience that I am called to forgive every single time, you know, individuals come back into my mind and I remember the way in which they hurt me. There's often that first major step of forgiveness, but it doesn't mean that it's all resolved. Sometimes we see other ways in which they've forgiven us, or we remember other ways in which we've been injured. Sometimes we see, various aspects of injury that was caused by way of their action against us, right? In every one of those instances, we need to forgive, we need to forgive, we need to forgive. And sometimes we're forgiving a jillion times from the moment the sun rises to the sun sets. Sometimes we're forgiving for many, many years. But nonetheless, we're called to forgive each and every time that injury is remembered and it wells up within us. Any kind of resentment, anger, or bitterness of heart, we're called to forgive. Those emotions are not bad emotions. They're only bad emotions if we give vent to them in unhealthy ways or if we nurture them, if we nurse those emotions. Sometimes we do that. I'm not saying you do that, but sometimes we do that. We nurture bitterness. We nurture resentment. But the feeling of bitterness, the emotion of anger, the emotion of resentment is not a sin unless we cooperate with it. So it's important to understand the Holy Spirit will take that feeling and use it to our advantage. He'll take that feeling and use it, to remind us, I still have forgiving to do here. You know, so he'll allow that emotion to well up simply to prompt us to continue the process. So when Jesus says but I say 70 times seven, when Jesus says that, that's what he's saying, that sometimes forgiveness is a process. And we're going to talk about that process in just a moment. So we see that we have a mandate, from Jesus. And in Matthew 6:14, Jesus says something else. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, you know, we hold ourselves in bondage to the sin that's been committed against us. We hold ourselves in a bondage to that person who still has ownership of us through that injury because we allow that person to through lack of forgiveness. But also, we hold ourselves in a type of bondage that keeps us away from receiving the blessings that the Lord wants us to have. Right? Because it says, unless we forgive, God can't forgive us. Right? Because we're choosing lack of forgiveness over him. And lack of forgiveness can even rise to the status of a mortal sin. If we become very steadfast in it, if we become cemented to it. And then in Luke 6, I'm just giving you some passages, 36 through 38. And be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. That's pretty clear. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Isn't it interesting? I like this passage because that last part of that passage is often used appeals for tithing or in appeals to be generous with your money. But if you look at it in context, that is not at all what that verse is about. It's about being generous of spirit and forgiving. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not and you will not be judged. Now here, this is not calling about evaluation of a situation where, you know, like Jesus says, judge a tree by its fruits. We are called to do that. But we're not called to consign a person to heaven or hell. That's the judging Jesus is talking about. Judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. See, it's a spiritual principle. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Give what? Give your mercy, right? Give your forgiveness. Give no condemnation. Give no judgment of eternal destiny. And it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Get that? So what do we receive as soon as we enter into this process? We receive from God graces, which come to us by way of joy. God can only give us good things. So when we forgive, what's given to us? Good measure is being given to us. Good measure that's pressed down. Good measure that's shaken together. Good measure that's so good and so robust that it's running over. And it'll be put into our lap, meaning that we'll receive it. It'll just be dropped there by heaven. That's what it means. And it says, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. So if we're very selfish, if we're very restrictive, with our condition, with our forgiveness, if we put conditions on it and things of that nature, then we're just not going to get the full measure of what God wants us to receive. We're going to get very little back in return. So there you have all of that. I could go on and on and give you more passages, but it's not necessary. So, okay, so Jesus tells us, you know, some sins are so grievous, they run so deep, the wound is so devastating that it's going to take time. And when it comes to abuse, it's probably that kind. Of a wound to the heart, Maddie. And, you know, here it is. It's 25 years later. I don't know if you are just entering into the process of forgiveness, if it's just dawned on you, you have to forgive. If you've been holding on for a long, long time to bitterness, resentment, and anger, hostility, or whatever the malfaction is that's come by way of this injury and perhaps the nurturing of it, then it's going to take a little more time to forgive. But if you've been working on it, you know, it can happen more quickly. So not knowing where you are in this process, I'm just going to begin at the beginning, and I'm going to try to make this short because I want to get to your calls today. 833-288-EWTN. It's 833-288-3986. Now, I do want to tell you that there's devastating effects of lack of forgiveness, some of which are always spiritual. But in addition to that, emotional, psychological, and physical as well. And I could go into a great big explanation of that, but I'm going to save you from hearing that today. You can get out there and buy a copy of my book, Experience Grace in Abundance, 10 Strategies for Your Spiritual Life. One of those strategies is all about forgiveness. It's strategy 8. So I want to encourage you to get out there and to get a copy of this book. Plus, what I'm sharing with you comes from that book. So it's all contained within this book for you. So the process of forgiveness. The first thing we have to do is have a desire to forgiveness, to forgive. And Maddie, you clearly do. You're asking about it. So you clearly want to have the desire. If you have no desire to forgive, or if you feel that you have a right to hold on to your lack of forgiveness, I want to ask you to pray for the desire to forgive. And if that's too close, pray for the desire to forgive. And if that's too close, pray for the desire to forgive. Back it up as many desires as you have to go and move forward one desire at a time as you continue to pray for the desire to forgive. So pray for the desire to forgive. The next thing that we have to do is wage out an all-out war against the difficulty and the struggle that we have, right? We have to know what it is, for example, that we're battling. So you have to know what your enemy is. You can't engage in a battle against something if you don't know who your enemy is. So identify the wound. And I want to say, explain it. Share. He was abusive. Okay, general. How was he abusive? Was it physical abuse? Was it mental abuse? Was it psychological abuse? Was it spiritual abuse? How was he abusive? What form and shape did that type of abuse take? Name it. And what was taken from you in that? Was it your self-respect? Was it your self-image? Was it your self-confidence? Was it your health? Whether that health is emotional or spiritual or psychological or physical. What was taken from you? It's important to know that. It's important to name it and to identify it, because that's where the work is going to be done, right? That's where you're going to begin to experience this capacity to be able to forgive at every level. And then, the work begins. And, I can share with you some of this reality of that process of forgiveness. You're already engaged in it when you uncover the wound, when you've named the wound, you're already moving forward. But now you have to wage the war. And I remember a beautiful woman, Marietta Yeager, whose young daughter was abducted from a camp. They were at a camping site in Montana. This is many years ago. And the family had pitched tents, mom and dad in a tent, children in the other tent. And someone actually came along in the middle of the night and stole Marietta's little daughter out of the tent. You can only imagine the horror of waking up the next morning and finding your child gone, not knowing what to do. Authorities were called. They searched. The abductor began to taunt the family, would call the family. He was trying to get money for the child, this thing, that thing. This went on and on. But Marietta waged a war against lack of forgiveness. And I'm going to share with you what that war was like. It's a dramatic story. But it's so very important. And I think it tells you, Maddie, in your own situation, how you can move forward. And friends, here's the thing. If, in fact, you have experienced a great injury, then this process of forgiveness is probably an important one for you to hear today, too. But we'd like to know about it. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. So keep Matthew busy. Get out there. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Coming right back after the break. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you. We're answering a question that came to Jack and me yesterday at the end of our program yesterday, which was Monthly Marriage Monday, and it was from Maddie from South Dakota. And she shared in her question that she was separated from her husband for 25 years because he was abusive, and she wants to know how she can forgive. So I'm walking Maddie through that phase now, and how it is that you actually begin that process of forgiveness and how it is that you move through it. So this might be pertinent to you too, and you might have suggestions for Maddie as well, and I'm wide open to hear them today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So I invite you to give us a call here. Share with us perhaps about a moment when you needed to forgive, when it was extremely difficult to do so. Maybe even you thought you had a right to hold on to your unforgiveness. Let us know, because we learn from each other, right? We learn from each other's experiences. And in answering Maddie's question, I'm sharing with you about an experience of a woman whose name was Marietta Yeager. Marietta Yeager's daughter was abducted. I shared that with you when they were camping in Montana many years ago. The abductor called and taunted the family really for quite some time. Eventually, I should tell you the end of the story. Eventually, they were able to find the person, and it was really through Marietta's help, they were able to find the abductor. And the abductor admitted to the fact that the young girl had been killed. He had killed the young girl shortly after he had abducted her. All of this, you know, play and taunting, et cetera, was where he was saying that he would release her. She was already dead when all of this was going on. But Marietta Yeager stands out to me as a person who really exhibited heroic virtue in the act of forgiveness. And I wanted to basically share a little bit of that story and how it was that Marietta Yeager walked through this. And I can tell you it's been useful to me in my own life, and it might be very useful to you. So, you know, as I mentioned to you, Maddie, and as I shared friends earlier, you know, Maddie has the desire to forgive, or she would not have bothered to call in and ask the question, how can I forgive? Obviously, the desire is there. So once we have that desire to forgive, the next thing we have to do is make a decision to forgive. And I think that it's important to understand that forgiveness is a decision. It's not an emotion. And this is where we, you know, the evil one will foul us up in this area, right? The evil one will play with us and he'll say, well, you haven't forgiven because look at how you feel. Feelings have nothing to do with decision making. We can sample our emotions, but we don't make decisions based on them. Decision comes through an act of the will. We choose, and then we walk in the way that we choose. Sometimes we think that if we forgive, we're condoning or excusing hurtful behaviors, or that our pain doesn't matter. Or we think that we have to forgive and forget. We're not going to forget deep injuries. There's just no way. And besides, God doesn't want us to forget them. He's given us a memory. He allows that memory to stay intact for given reasons. And sometimes those reasons are known only to him. But oftentimes, you know, we remember certain things from the past, and we're very careful and cautious in the future not to go in that direction again. Forgiveness does not mean that we pretend everything is okay now, or that we should allow ill will toward us to continue. It doesn't mean that we should allow ourselves or those that we love to stay in a potentially harmful or abusive situation. So I want to just share with you right now, Maddie, that forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. Forgiveness is what we're called to do. Jesus doesn't say that we have to reconcile. Now, it does say, you know, if we know that someone has something against us, we leave our gifts at the altar and we go and we be reconciled. But that's not forgiving somebody. That's asking for forgiveness. If we know that someone has something against us, leave your gifts at the altar, go be reconciled, right? So, you know, and then the Lord receives the gifts. We can leave them there. He'll receive them once we've asked for reconciliation. So forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. Sometimes it's not safe for us to be reconciled. So there is that aspect of this. Forgiveness does not mean that we've just moved on now. Or it doesn't mean that retribution isn't necessary. Somebody commits a grave, grave sin against us. You know, retribution is necessary. In the case of Marietta Yeager's situation, the man was prosecuted and received the death sentence. She begged the court not to kill the man. She said that would not be honoring her daughter's life because all life is important. So he received life imprisonment, and she even went and visited the man in prison during his time. Eventually, however, the man took his own life in prison. Forgiveness does not mean that we feel forgiveness. We've talked about that. It doesn't mean that we're weak or we're a patsy. And it doesn't mean that forgiveness is a quick fix. It's not. Forgiveness, and the emotions catching up to the action can take a very, very long time. So we make a decision to forgive. So Maddie, right now, if you're desiring forgiveness, and you've reached the point where you want to forgive, then just take the step and say, I forgive. It's a decision. Now you have to walk in the way of forgiveness. Now, how do we walk in the way of forgiveness? Well, Jesus tells us, we always go back to scripture, pray for your persecutors, pray for your enemies. And I'll tell you, this is also a way to move yourself through the desiring process. If you find, I don't even want to pray for this person. I don't even want to pray for the desire. I don't even want to, you know, I don't even want to forgive this person. I'm justified. Start to pray for the person. Oh my gosh, that requires great dying to self. Great dying to self. But that's okay. Die to self and start to pray. Jesus doesn't say, start to pray for your persecutor when you feel like it, or, you know, when your emotions have caught up. No, pray for your persecutor. When we pray for our persecutor, that allows the Spirit of the living God to begin to work on that area of our heart that is so hardened. And the Holy Spirit comes in and he begins to soften our heart and our perspective begins to change. And so, you know, so let's back up again. What do? We want the desire. If we don't have the desire, we pray for the desire. As we're praying for the desire, we pray for the persecutor. Okay, we get to the point where we want to forgive. We make the decision to forgive. Then we walk in the way of forgiveness. We continue to pray for the person. We continue to pray for the person. As we pray for the person, we pray for the grace to see the person as God sees the person. I remember one time I had to forgive somebody, didn't want to forgive this person, went through a really rough time getting to the point where I could actually desire to forgive and then making the decision to forgive and then walking in the way of forgiveness. But as I prayed for that person, I began to realize things. And this psychological process of reframing began to take place. And we can help that process along. What is reframing? Reframing is when we begin to see this person through a new lens. Sometimes it's the lens of God himself, how God sees this person. Sometimes it's the lens of looking at this person and realizing this is not the greatest sinner who's ever lived. This is not the worst. Surely there were some aspects of this person that were not horrible and horrific. Surely. You know, you oftentimes hear even about psychopaths that were very kind to the elderly, or psychopaths that you know, took care of their parents, or psychopaths that, you know, would occasionally operate in other kinds of acts of charity or kindness. So it's looking at this person as being flawed, but hopefully, you know, redeemable, right? They're redeemable. Redemptive grace is there. And that's what we're praying for. We want to pray for the soul of that person. So seeing this person as not being, you know, 100% Satan, you know, it can be helpful. And then realizing that if the person had known God in that moment, if the person had a deep relationship, that person probably could never have committed the action against us. And also realizing that sometimes, you know, that there's that adage that's very true. Hurt people hurt people. This person probably hurt in some way, probably acting out of a wound of the heart. So maybe this person really deserves my compassion and not my anger. That's what happened to me in my own personal case, right? So I began to see this person never could have done this to me. Had this person known God, had this person not have been really wounded. Oh my gosh, you know, that's reframing. And then to help us along that process, we don't talk ill about the person. We keep our mouth shut about the, you know, about the person. We don't, if we can't say something that is, please pray for this person, if we can't say something like that, we say nothing. We don't talk bad about them. And we don't let other people talk bad about them either. Marietta did that. She refused to say anything bad about the guy that abducted her child. The perpetrator. She refused to allow anybody to say anything bad about him in her presence. She refused. She wouldn't let them. Because if she began to listen to those voices, whether inside of herself, outside of herself, or coming from others, then she was confirming herself in lack of forgiveness. But she was walking in the way of forgiveness, right? And deep compassion. One day what ended up happening is the fellow called, he taunted. What would happen is, you know, just, you know, they had a bug on her phone. So they were trying to track the calls. But what would happen is the guy was not stupid. He would hang up just before he knew that the time, you know, was there for them to be able to find his location. But one night she engaged in a conversation and he called up and he was taunting her. And she spoke to him with true compassion. She says, you know, this must be very difficult for you. This has to be so hard for you to keep this up. I can't imagine the stress and the strain that you're under. And the man started to cry. And he went on and he opened up to her and he began to talk with her about his own life. And she was able to keep him on the phone. But I don't think that her goal was just that. I think her goal was real sincerity of heart. Because she had gotten to that point. And he was on the phone long enough for the police to capture him. And that's how it actually happened. So every time that person comes into our mind and the, you know, misery of emotion rises up within us, we pray for that person. And we continue to move forward. And then we try to reach out to others who might be similarly afflicted. And Marietta did that. That's called giving a gift, giving a moral gift. And she reached out, and she really went into war-torn areas and helped people work on forgiveness. She was used, the federal government used her in remarkable ways. And I think so did some NGOs and other kinds of organizations. So it's possible. So Maddie, I hope that that's helped you. So desire to forgive. Pray for the desire if you don't have it. Make a decision to forgive. Walk in the way of forgiveness. Allow yourself to look at your husband through different lenses. As you're praying, continue to pray for him. Don't talk about him poorly yourself. Don't let others talk about him poorly. And every time it wells up in you, the injury that was caused to you, and you've named them already, you did all of that in that earlier step. Then what you do at that point in time, when it wells up, is you just double down on your prayer. Double down. Father God, I thank you that, you know, gee whiz, it's not every day that this is welling up in me. It's every 3 days, or it's every week, or it hasn't welled up in months now. I thank you and praise you. It's a sign of my progress. It's a sign that I'm moving forward in this process of forgiveness. And then will arise one happy day when you will be able to say, I have forgiven. I have completely forgiven. And, you know, that'll be a marvelous hurrah day in the Lord. So I hope that helps you, Maddie. I've spent a lot of time on this question, but boy, oh boy, it's a really important one. We have Susan with us. Susan's in New York, listening to us via Veritas. How are you, Susan?
Hello.
Hi, sweetie. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Jeanette, I just took the phone away because I heard a beep away from my ear for 1 second, but I'm on. I'm Susan, and I called in. Do you have Sue Brinkman on tomorrow, I think?
I do indeed.
Oh, that's her. I was trying to think of her name. I knew her name was Sue. I probably should have called in. I want to tell you a short story and ask you what you think. Are these
okay.
things coincidences or not?
Okay.
So I think it was Saturday. I have a packet of blessed salt from Stockbridge, Massachusetts, the Divine Mercy Shrine that my brother brought here a few years ago.
Okay.
It's almost full. I used it once or twice, maybe to bless the property outside, the home and the house. So I just felt funny the other day. So I figured, it was a beautiful day. It was Saturday. Took the bag of blessed salt that my brother had left here.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a prayer or anything. I was just going to go out and sprinkle some around. So I was out for a little while, went out and got the mail, brought in the mail, two pieces of mail. One of them, I do get religious mail because I give mass cards to people, so it's not
sure.
unusual. But this one was a little unusual. Right on the front, you are the salt of the earth. I had the packet of salt in my hands from my home. You are the salt of the earth from Association of the Miraculous Metal. You know, there it's an ad for donations, and you can buy more salt. So I just was a little unnerved. It was very strange. So I opened it up. And there was a little packet you could sprinkle, and you can order more. And there was one side prayer for using blessed and exorcised, like an exorcism, exorcise salt.
Yes.
So I had my packet in one hand, and this from the mail with a teeny little packet they sent. I did not have the prayer. So I just walked around in circles for a little while. I thought it was a little strange.
So I
did use it. I used their packet, and I said the prayer twice outside and sprinkled it around. I just thought it was strange. I rarely, if ever, I have a packet of salt that my brother brought that I hardly ever use. I don't think I ever got salt in the mail. I've gotten a lot of religious mail because I give mass cards, but I don't know. What do you think?
Okay. First of all, I think a couple of different things. First of all, I think that it's always a good practice to have blessed salt in the house. So if you run out of your blessed salt, just go out and buy a container of salt, take it to your parish priest and ask him to bless the salt, and then it's blessed salt. You can also pray an exorcism prayer over it, not you, but the priest. It can pray an exorcism prayer over it if the priest happens to be an exorcist, that's a very good thing. That is just a stronger type of a blessing, if you will. So, okay. You know, that's what the exercise salt is. So I would not be concerned about that. It's good to have exercise salt in the house if you have it. But blessed salt is you know, very efficacious. So blessed salt and holy water. And I always recommend, you know, occasionally we need to clean the house and clean the house with blessed salt and holy water. Walking the perimeter of your property and spreading blessed salt about it is a very good thing to do. It's an excellent thing to do, so it's an excellent practice. I think that the fact that you know, you had blessed salt, you went out to the mailbox and there's more blessed salt, I think is a confirmation from heaven that this is a good thing.
It was very strange. Even yeah. I mean, a lot of things don't unnerve me, but it was.
But it's beautiful because it's a blessing from heaven. And also the fact that it says you are the salt of the earth, you know.
Front with the miraculous medal, with the picture of the front and back of the miraculous medal.
Yeah, and so that's very important because it's reminding us of a truth about ourselves. So here you are, you're baptized, right? And you're mm-hmm. you know, living your faith and you're in a state of grace. And it's reminding you of a part of your identity, maybe the deepest part of your identity, that you are the salt of the earth. When we have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us, we are the salt of the earth. So, you know, I just really think that it was a kiss from heaven.
It was so strange, Jeanette, to have the packet that my brother gave me in my hand. It's been sitting in the house. I used it once or twice. I had it in my hand.
Yes.
When I got this in the mail.
Yeah. And also, Susan, I mean, you know, it could have been that the Lord was confirming through the Holy Spirit that specific moment that, yeah, what you're doing is important. I'm glad you're blessing your house and protecting it. This is a good thing. Because we don't know what the future holds, right?
Yeah. So that's nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. I'm thinking there's people saying out there, gee, I wish the Lord would show up like that. And he's always showing up. But sometimes, you know, he lets us see more clearly than at other moments because it's important for us to know. So, you know, I would take all of it to prayer. I certainly wouldn't be frightened by it. I would be grateful for it. And I would ask the Lord, hey, listen, if there's anything more of this that I need to know, if there's more that you need to share with me about this confluence of, circumstances that occurred, I don't like to call them coincidences because I'm sure it was planned by heaven. There are no coincidences in heaven. Then let me know. You know, I'm wide open for it. And I would see. So that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us today. It's a reminder that the Lord is always making himself known to us.
And thank everybody for being there, Jeanette. Some days the cross is heavier than others, and EWTN, you and all the living and the deceased, that, you know, Father Groeschel and Father Apostoli, I saw them on TV the other day. Everybody's with us, you know, the living and the deceased. And thank you all, because some days the cross is heavy, and EWTN and family helps, and Mother Angelica helps everybody so much.
Yes.
You guys will never know. Help everybody so much.
Well, you know, I think that we won't know. I think that each one of us, you know, God has used in remarkable ways. I'm not talking about the each of us on EWTN. I'm talking each one of us that have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Certainly. Are used by God in multiple ways. And it's going to be such fun to get to heaven and see Susan. You know, I think it's going to be great. But thank you for your call today. You've blessed a lot of people by asking your question and reminding them, keep our eyes open. The Lord is always making himself apparent to us in certain ways. Thanks, Susan. I want to get to Doris. Doris, a first-time caller out there in Canton, Ohio. There's my bell for you, Dory. I think it's Doris, to welcome you to the broadcast today. How are you?
I'm good. I've never been on the radio before. I don't
That's okay.
So I just really just heard you for the first time. I just got this this radio thing from, I don't know, some kind of place that they shipped it and put it on my porch the next day. So it's a $6 radio. And it's the first time I've used it. Anyhow, I don't have a computer, and I only have a cell phone that I don't know how to work. But I'd love to have your book.
Okay.
On whatever the book is. So all I did was call up to get the phone number so I can give them so I can buy it over the phone.
Sure. Okay. All right. Let me give you the number to use. And it's called Experience, Grace, and Abundance. Experience, Grace, and Abundance. 10 strategies for your spiritual life. But Experience, Grace, and Abundance is enough. So I'm going to give you the phone number for Women of Grace. Okay. It's 800.
Okay.
It's an 800 number. 800-558.
5-4-5-2 Got it. And are you Janet?
Janet.
Are you Janet? You're the one that I've been listening to?
Yes.
Okay, that's wonderful. I mean, I love that too. So, do you have any things that you can listen to? Do you have DVDs or anything? Okay. Okay,
well,
so if I call them, then I can order it.
Okay. Yes.
And I can order the book. Okay.
Yes, Doris. Thank you for calling today. And listen, keep listening and call again.
I will. Thanks so much. Okay.
Oh, you're so welcome. God bless you then. All right. It's been great being with all of you today. What a wonderful opportunity it is to gather in the name of the Lord Monday through Friday to talk about issues of importance to our lives and to our faith and to grow together on this holy road, this holy path that leads to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Until we have the opportunity to be together again, may God richly bless you. Bye-bye now.